Amen. Are you thankful to be a Christian tonight? Amen. I think that song just sums it up nicely, doesn't it? Amen. I'm so blessed. How can I not give him thanks for everything that he's done for me? Amen. Especially when I didn't deserve it, which is never. Amen. But he's done so much for us. Amen. You know, as I was just sitting there, just as the song service was ending, kind of looking around, you know, sometimes when we are called upon to minister in things, it's there's a lot of nerves involved. And it's not so much that I'm afraid of getting up in front of people and speaking, because I've done that all my career, and I've done it a lot, I'll just put it that way. But you just, you're nervous because you're handling the word and you're standing in front of God's purchase of his blood, and you're doing an important thing, right? It's not something that we take lightly. But, you know, as I was sitting there, just kind of looking around, I was just thinking, you know, I'm just so glad that it's just family tonight. Amen. You know, and if someone else was here that isn't normally here, it'd be still be just family. Amen. Because it's the family of God, and you know, when you have family and those ties are close, you know, you make allowances, right? You have grace and you have forgiveness, and you know, you tolerate one another and things like that. So. I don't know. I just, it was something as I was just looking around at all the faces. I'm just so, I'm proud to be your brother. Amen. To be associated with this body and with this church. And, you know, I look around at believers that I'm privileged to share this local fellowship with. And, I just can't help but think how, we have some of the best. Amen. And I'm sure that, other people that live other places think that too, but I'm right. Amen. So God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight. Amen. Coming on a Wednesday night. Thank you, musicians. Amen for your sacrifice as well. Amen. I don't know if it was mentioned in the prayer requests or not, but Brother Doug and Sister Jennifer are both ill, have a little stomach flu, and he said everybody in the house is sick, including their cat. Their cat's even throwing up, he said. So I don't know if that happens. Can cats get stuff from humans? Sometimes, okay, yeah. Because I know that they were worried about wondering when COVID first came out if animals, pets were going to get it and stuff. And I know deer can get it, but I don't know about cats. But I don't know, I guess some stomach things. But anyway, so pray for all of them, including their cat. Amen. And just pray for strength in their body and healing. Amen? Amen. You glad to be here tonight? Yes. Amen. Has God been good to you this week? Yes. Man, he's been good to me. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, let's while you're standing, let's just turn into our Bibles tonight. And I just want to read two scriptures here, and that'll be it for our scripture reading. And just have a really kind of simple thought that I just thought we would just do a little study here tonight look at, but it's nothing new, but perhaps it will encourage us tonight. Mark chapter 11, and start here in verse 22. So I want to title this tonight, Acts of Faith, and pray that it'll be evident to you as we go on what that means. Mark 11, chapter 22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. We could just close right there, right? This is a very simple word, but this is the word of God. This is Jesus himself, God in flesh speaking and telling us, have faith in God. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. I mean, it doesn't get much less complicated than this, right? Much more simple than this. But yet, amen, there's power in this simple word tonight, amen? James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Father, Lord, as we just change the order of the service here tonight, Father, we just pray that you would anoint this word once again, Lord. Anoint our hearts, Lord, to receive it, Father. Anoint my lips to speak it, Lord. We just surrender to you, Lord, from the front to the back, side to side, up and down, in every way, Father. We want to surrender to you and let you have the preeminence tonight, Lord. Take over this service, Lord, as you already have in the worship and the music and the singing and all the prayers that have gone forth. But now as your word goes forth, Lord, we just ask that your word would lead and have the preeminence as your spirit anoints it and makes it live. We are yours tonight, Father. And we pray that you would just move in all ways and all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. So we're going to, by God's grace, we're going to try and tie these things together here where James says that we wouldn't just be hearers of the word, but that we would be doers of the word. Amen. And he says, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So you can be a hearer of the word and be deceived. Amen. That you're hearing but not doing. In other words, you're hearing without revelation and it's not manifesting. Right? So that's what we want to talk about tonight is acts of faith, the action of faith. Not a hearer only, but a doer, amen, of the word. Amen? Now, we are part of the true church. We believe that tonight, right? The true church is Christ's body here on earth. Amen? And as part of his body, we have a place in the economy of God, God's great economy that he has established, the way that he does things in heaven and earth and all that he has created, his dominion. Amen. We call that his economy because it's in every way that he moves and how he operates. Amen. Heaven and earth and all the angels and everything that he has created, we have a place in that. Amen. You don't have to be quiet tonight. Amen. We have a place in that. Amen. And we have to know our place in God's economy. We have to know our role. And it's an important one. Amen? It's not something over in the corner, back seat, or anything like that. Amen? It's actually in the spotlight in this age. But we have a role to play. And we have a job to do. Amen? And he has a purpose and a method and he has a plan and things that he is working out, and we are a part of that. And when we're born of the Spirit of God, we know that we have been sealed into eternal life. Right? The Bible says, and Brother Branham teaches us, that the Holy Spirit is the seal of God in our lives. Right? Where eternal life is sealed in, and the devil is sealed out. Amen? He can't get to you. And in any way, he'd have to be born again and become your brother to get to that place. How? To get to that place where you are now dwelling in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Is that right? So we are taught that we are sealed in to heavenly places. And yet we are walking on the earth. Right? And Brother Doug's been taking us through this dichotomy that we live in where we have a spirit being, and we have a flesh being, we have a flesh body, and we're here on earth, but yet we are a heavenly being. Amen. Where we have a soul, amen, that is already raptured. It's already in heavenly places. And so in that way, we are a dual being, right? Where we are making heaven and earth our meeting.
in the child of God. And we know that man was created for a purpose. Man was created in God's image to take dominion over the earth. Right? To be a God over the earth. Where God is God of everything. He's creator of, he's God of the universe, creator of all things. So in his image, he creates man to be a small God over a smaller dominion. Right? And we were supposed to rule and reign this dominion by faith from the heavenly realm, from heavenly places. We weren't supposed to rule it by the sweat of our brow and by the intellect and by the strength of our natural being or by the smarts of our human intellect, but by faith. Is that right? We were supposed to bring the character of God. Now, this is a powerful thought. The character of God and manifest it to the earth. All of God's manifested characteristics on display throughout the earth. Amen? In everything that we do, his character would be on display. Amen? And we have that dramatization of Adam naming the animals where God defers and allows Adam to name the animals. And Adam names them with the mind of God. Amen? Manifesting God's character as he begins to do this work on the earth. But yet we know we've been given natural faculties, right? We have hands, we have touch, we have all the different senses, right? We can taste our food and we can hear and see and all these things, right? We can touch, we can contact this world like a spirit being cannot. We have a flesh, amen? And these natural faculties allow us to contact our home that we've been given. But yet, the Word of God was supposed to flow through us to bring order out of chaos. Right? He said, here is the whole earth, take it and subdue it, bring order out of the chaos. You can see that manifested in humans today, right? That they want to bring order out of chaos. It's a natural thing. Well, some people anyway. Some people thrive on chaos. But there's a natural tendency for humans to want to order things and control things. Well, that's God-given. That was our place originally. Amen? But now we're in a fallen condition. We fell from that position in heavenly places where Adam and his descendants were supposed to speak by faith and rule and reign in that way. Amen? But by the Holy Spirit, our soul has been sealed back into that. Amen? And someday we know that this earth, the fallen earth and the fallen bodies that were from the fallen earth and all of that will be completely restored and it will be back as God intended it in the beginning. So we're in this process of restoration, right? And this process of restoration, as we've spoken about many times and we've heard many sermons about, it's God's work. Amen. This is God's plan, God's work. It was his idea. It was his will to do this work. He started it before we were ever born. Amen. He came, he made the sacrifice. Is that right? He in the past, he was our sacrifice. In the present, he is our high priest. And in the future, he will be coming back for us to complete that redemption process. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? He has, he is, he will. The one who has come, is come, and will come. Amen. So that's his place. Right? That's his part of the work. You and I are not the high priests. Right? We are not making intercession. Right? We aren't laying on the altar as a high priest tonight. Amen? We did not die. We did not sacrifice ourselves. Yet we have the one who did it in us. So we have the spirit of sacrifice. We have the spirit of intercession. But we're not doing that role. Right? And we're not the husband to the church. Right? So God has his role to play. But we have our role to play as well. Amen? We have our part in this great work. God isn't doing it alone. He's doing it. He's not excluding us from it. He's not just doing it and you know, bringing us along. We are part of it. Amen? We have a part to play in all of this. So just as God established roles in the family, he establishes the role of father and mother and children and things in well-ordered families. There are roles in his economy. Amen. He has a role. We have a role. Amen. And the thing is, we can't get, if we try and get out of our position, then we get frustrated. And things don't go as they should. And we find ourselves working outside of the will of God. Just like in the family, if the wife gets in the position of the husband, things start to get messy, right? They start to butt heads and things don't work as they should. Same thing in a church. Amen? Everyone has their positions and places and there's order to it. Amen? Man has tried to substitute that by organization. But that doesn't mean God is not a God of order. He is a God of order. But it's his order, not man's order. And what man has done is tried to place their organization and their headship and replace the leadership of the Holy Spirit. It's not that God is a God of chaos and everything, you know, the church is just run willy-nilly and all that. No, he has an order. But it's an order that he has established. The leadership of man has allowed the Nicolaitan spirit to come in and take over, getting man out of his position into a position of leadership, right? Where it should be the Holy Spirit leading. Replacing the Holy Spirit, in other words, right? And then on the other side, you get the Jezebel spirit, amen, where the modernism creeps into the church and runs down any kind of leadership or headship. Amen? Rebellious, and we won't be ruled, and we right? We won't follow any man or anything like that. Well, God has men in position. The Holy Spirit uses that. So we know the truth is right down the middle between the two. Right? But we see in the church that if we get to one side or the other, we get out of place and out of position and things can't work the way that they should. So it's important to understand our place. It's important to understand our part. What is my job? What am I supposed to do? What am I called? What is God expecting of me? Right? What does he want me doing? Or what role do I play? And anybody who, you know, if you ever have a job, you have to find that sometimes, right? You get a job and sometimes it's not real clear what your job is. I've had several jobs like that where they're kind of like, well, we kind of need you to just kind of do this kind of stuff. And you have to like figure it out, right? It takes some time, but eventually you kind of figure out where the lines are. And okay, you know, I don't go over into that because they're handling this and these people are handling this. But they call that staying in your lane. If you've ever heard that term, right? You just stay in your lane. Okay, this is my lane, right? This is what I do. And that's what's expected of me in this job. Well, God has an expectation for us, right? And we want to do our part. Amen? So let's read a statement here from the Message. This is expectations. Brother Bram says, now God is willing, if we are willing, but we have to play our part. Each individual has our part to play. Each individual. Right? Nobody is excluded. Amen. Nobody in this building tonight is excluded from this. You don't just get to come in and slink into church and sit on the back row, excuse me, deacons, right? To sit on the back row and just say, I'm just a spectator in this thing, you know, I'm not part of this. No, each individual has our part to play. I can no more make, this is Brother Branham speaking, I can no more make a revival out of it or a meeting than nothing. See, they were leaning on his gift. But he says, I can't do that. He says, and no one individual, or no just two or three of you, it'll take all of us together. Why do you think God brings people together? Amen? Do you think it just like, I don't know, it was kind of an accident. You know, one day I just showed up and, oh, accident, you know, flip a coin. Could have been here, could have been there. Really, you think God runs his economy that way? Amen? Do you think his children, you know, oh, well, maybe they'll make it into the place that I want them. It'll take all of us together, he says, working together through the Lord Jesus Christ to see something accomplished here in this city while we're gathered together for the kingdom of God's sake. Brother, sister, we're living near the end. So I believe he said that on the end just to let them know it's important. It's urgent. Right? We're near the end. It's going home time. We don't have a lot of time to work. So we each have a part to play. Amen? So you just tell that to yourself, I have a part to play tonight. Amen? And your part is important. Amen? But most of the time, brother, sister, our part is very simple. Amen? And we're usually looking, the problem that we have so many times is we look past it. When the part that God wants us to play is very simple, it's right in front of us, it's right within your reach, but we pass over it because it just looks too humble or too simple. Amen? It doesn't seem like enough. It doesn't seem big enough. It doesn't seem important enough. It should be more complicated than that. Amen? So we begin to dismiss little things, little responsibilities, small roles, small responsibilities, and small, that we deem small. And we overlook them, but that's what could make the difference in your life or in somebody else's life. It could determine spiritual successes in your life. That little thing, that little small responsibility that just looks too simple. I'm looking for the big things, right? I'm looking out here, and instead it's right in front of you what your role is, what God expects you to be doing. Amen? So, but the thing is, and that's what we want to talk about here tonight, we want to talk about these acts of faith and how there is power in the small acts of faith. Amen? In the book of Revelation, when you read the book of Revelation, back of your Bible, right? It says something to the effect, our blessed is the one that hears the words that are written in this book. Right? So look at that small thing. Just by reading it or hearing that, there's a blessing in it. Right? And here's the thing about all these things that we're going to be talking about here tonight. It all comes down to your attitude towards them. Right? Because when you crack open your Bible or you bring up your iPad, power up your phone or whatever, right, to read the book of Revelation, if your attitude is, there's a blessing in it, for me, because God promised that there would be a blessing. If there's a blessing in it, in this for me, that's your attitude, then guess what? That simple little thing is going to be a blessing to you. Amen? There's power in that. There's power in hearing God's word. Amen? There's power that we should appreciate and value. Just being able to listen to a recorded message from the message of the hour. Amen. Now we have devices where we can just scroll and pick up anyone that we want. Amen. We don't have to go into the cabinets anymore and file through all the tape cassettes and find the one that, you know, we don't have to record. We don't have to wind it back with a pencil, right? Or it doesn't have the label falling off of it, right? Because the glue, you know, got brittle and the label's gone. And I have no idea what tape it is, but we'll just put it in. That's the way we used to do it. For you youngins, Amen? But we can just pull it up. We could pick anyone. You got them all in your language. You can listen to it. Anytime it's in your pocket. Amen? But sometimes because it's so accessible and it's just there and, you know, we have access to it and I could just turn it on anytime. But do we understand the value of that simple act of faith? Amen? I mean, maybe it would mean something to you if, you know, somebody came up with a recording of Paul. Right? They discovered the Dead Sea Scrolls, and with it they found a tape of St. Paul. Right? And I mean, how special would that be? Right? You'd be like, man, the first church age messenger. I mean, he wrote half the New Testament. But brother, sister, we have our church age messenger. The message that God sent to us. And we can just listen to it. Amen? And it's sent to you. Behold, I send you. Amen? You see what we're talking about? We're talking about simple acts of faith. Now, if you approach it with that attitude, you're going to get a blessing. You know, if you approach it with the attitude of, well, you know, maybe you're younger. Well, mom, dad said I need to listen to a tape so that I'll behave myself. Right, I got into trouble, and they said, well, as a punishment, go listen to a tape. Right, that's a bad attitude, right? You're doing something out of an obligation. You know, or, well, you know, I'm trying to get myself to listen to more tapes, and so, okay, I'll put on my tape for the day or the week or whatever it happens to be. Right, your attitude affects it, right? A simple act can reap benefits in your life if it's approached the right way. Amen. Coming to church is the same thing. Amen. Yeah, you were wondering when I was going to get to that, right? Amen, it's the exact same thing. So let me ask you a question. Everybody knows what a Christmas Christian is, right? Or Easter Christian? So those of you who don't know, because not everybody nodded their head. That is a Christian that goes to church on Christmas or Easter. Right? It's very popular with Catholics, of course, because they have their holidays are important, right? But can be in other denominations as well. So say a Christian only goes to church, and I use the term Christian fairly loosely in that context, right? But they go to church on Christmas and Easter, twice a year. Okay. Compare that with someone who goes to church once a month. Do you think one is going to be slightly more spiritually strong than the other? So 12 versus 2. Right? Do you think that there's a difference there? Okay, well, what about the one that goes to church once a month versus once a week? So now we got 12 versus 52. Do you think it makes a difference? Of course it makes a difference, right? Now, you might not notice it right away, but the effect is cumulative. Right? And it's simple. It's a simple thing. Now, what about the one who goes to church once a week versus three times a week? Do you think there's a difference? Amen. In a simple act of faith. Amen? Something that just, it seems easy. Well, you know, I got this thing going and I can't make it there, here, and right? We know all the things. Amen? But yet that simple act of faith has extraordinary consequences. I think about, and this is not to criticize anybody, but, you know, I think about there are churches in this message that meet differently, right? We have three times a week. Some only have two. Right, where they have like a Wednesday night and maybe like a Sunday morning. They don't have a Sunday night, right? Or they do some different variation of that, right? But there's a lot of them that do that. And again, that's not to criticize them. But do you think that we get a benefit from that third service a week? Amen. I do. I can tell you that. Amen. And again, that's not to criticize them. They do as God leads. But doing that simple act of faith, what I'm trying to show you in a kind of a maybe a clumsy way, is just that by these small acts of obedience, they have an effect in our life. Amen? And they have an accumulation effect. It's like faith, confessing faith. You just keep confessing it. And it has an accumulation. You keep at it, and you keep at it, and you keep at it. And eventually, it overwhelms the opposition. Amen? So, let's look at this from Sirs, We Would See Jesus. Brother Brown says, I'm praying and fasting and waiting on God. I want to do my part while I'm here in California. And you do your part. You get out and get the people in. God is doing greater things today than has ever been known since Jesus Christ was on the earth. That's right. And it's going right over the top of people's head. And they're missing seeing it. See, that's the bad part. If they would only knew it like Jesus said. If you'd only known your day, and if you'd have only known it, Jerusalem, how oft I would have hovered you, as a hen does her brood, but you would not. If you had only known your day, your visitation, that's the way it is today. It's always been. That's what it is now. And brother, sister, that's not just true of that time when he was speaking in 1961, but it's true today. We must know our day and our visitation. He says that's the way it is today. It's always been. That's what it is now. If we'd have only known the day of visitation, but the visitation goes right through, and the people are looking way over here for something else. Amen. What if the revival is ready to break out in your church, but you're not there? We're looking way over here for something else. And you first thing you know, he says, the visitation's over. But there it is. As he said, no man can come to me except my Father has drawn him first, and all the Father hath given me will come to me. Amen. Oh, that's what makes us. Amen? So, as we're thinking about simple actions of faith, because those things that I've mentioned, listening to a recording, listening to a sermon or coming to church, those are simple acts of faith. And we might overlook them and overlook their importance. Right? But I want you to think about creation for a moment. And think about God. And Brother Branham says that God was, he was alone with his thoughts. He filled all of eternity. He was just God, and that's all there was. Right? There was no creation. But he began to create. And to create, he began to speak. Right? And the Bible says that he believed his word. Right? And that's, he had faith in his own word, and he spoke his own word. And that's how everything was created. Amen? Thinking about it didn't make it happen. He was with his own thoughts for eternity. But it wasn't until he actually spoke that creation began to happen. Is that right? And when he spoke, if someone could be there to just observe, when he spoke, it wasn't like, man, things are automatically started happening right that instant. Brother Branham said it happened over the course of millions of years. He said he watched like the earth and the sun and different, he watched them fall for a million years and then stops it right in its place. Right? It was a long process. But when he spoke, he said, let there be. Now, that is a simple act. Is it not? He didn't give up. He didn't write a big formal speech. Right? He didn't talk for an hour. Right? Think about that. He didn't make a big flowery speech and try to convince, you know, the angels or whatever that his word was true and that this was going to happen. Right? He didn't do that. He just said, "Let there be." Amen. Very simple. Short. To the point. Right? But he believed his word. He had faith. And out of that faith came an action. Amen. That's what we want to get to tonight. Because he had pure, perfect faith in his word, an action came out. And that action was very simple. Straight to the point. Amen. Let there be. And through that simple act of faith came creation. Physics, atoms, black holes, galaxies, suns, moons, worlds, nature, natural laws, things that we can't even begin to comprehend. Just by a simple act of faith, let there be. You see the power in the simplicity of an act of faith. Amen? So, brother, sister, as I started out by saying tonight, we are created in God's image. Amen? We are made to have faith and dwell in heavenly places. Amen? We have been given a Holy Spirit that has sealed us in and given us perfect faith in God's word in our soul. And we are called to believe God's word as he believed his own word. And we are called to speak. We are called to have acts of faith as God's simple act of faith created everything. Amen? We are called to have that word move into this dimension through our acts of faith. God spoke to nothing and created everything. Spoke to the darkness and created light. And that's what you're called to do. Amen? You're called to speak to the chaos. Amen? In your life. The darkness. Amen? And it doesn't have to be a big flowery speech. It doesn't have to be, you know, something grand. Simple, faith-filled words. Let there be God's word moving into this dimension through your lips. Amen? Amen. Let's read. This is from Faith by Experience. I see a crutch setting back here by a lady. If he can make her believe that she's going to have to use that crutch to go out and to go out of Huron, it's whipped. But when she won't look at that, but she'll look towards God's promise, it'll be left at the seat. So in other words, he says, if the devil can get her so bound up that she believes she has to use that crutch to walk out of the building, that's what she'll do. But if she can not look at that, but look at God's promise, he says, it'll be left at the seat. In other words, she won't need it. Well, you say, I've been crippled for years. He says, that don't have nothing to do with it. It's what God said. That's the idea. He told me coming up, Satan did a while ago. How about that, right? He speaks to the prophet as he's going up. He does that to everybody. He does that to the minister coming in to preach. He does that to you coming into church. Amen? Listen to what he says. You're too hoarse to preach. That's what he's telling Brother Branham. You're not feeling good enough to go to church. Right? The preacher, he's saying, you're too hoarse to preach. Well, he doesn't tell you that because you're not going to be preaching, but he tells you, oh, you know, you're too tired, you got a headache. Right. Amen. Right. That is Satan. Do you think God is going to come to you and tell you, nope, don't go to church tonight? Satan said, you're too hoarse to preach. I said, you're a liar. So what's your answer? And look what he says, and I could hardly whisper. So he was hoarse. He was too hoarse to preach. He could hardly whisper. But he told the devil, you're a liar. I could hardly whisper when I come through the door, but I walked in anyhow. Oh, if we could just do that sometimes. Amen? If we could just lay those things, just Satan, you're a liar. Amen? You're trying to keep me from my blessing. You're trying to keep me from doing this simple act of faith. It might seem like bullheaded, right? Like, why are you making such a big deal, Brother Brown? You could get somebody else to preach. It's a simple act of faith. Why do you need to go to church? Everybody else will be there. It's a simple act of faith. I said, you're a liar. And I could hardly whisper when I come to the door, but I walked in anyhow. Because God is going to do something here tonight. Maybe save some soul or heal some for some purpose. And my duty is to stand here. Right? His duty was to stand behind the pulpit. What's your duty? Amen. That might not be your duty, but you have a duty. Why do we hold him to the standard of he has to do his duty? But we won't do our duty? My duty is to stand here. And whether I can whisper or even grunt. You imagine standing up. Amen. Before all those people and just can't do anything but grunt or whisper. He says, but whether I can whisper or even grunt, God will do something anyhow. Because he said he would. And he said, listen, it's our duty to take our stand. And it's God's duty to back us up. You see the role. God has his part. We have our part. When we don't do our part, he won't do his part. Amen? We've got to do our part. Our duty is to take our stand. God's duty is to back us up. Don't worry about him. He'll take care of his part. He's faithful. But you do your part. It's our duty to take our stand. God's duty to back us up. You do your part and find out if God won't do his. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, this should encourage us, brothers. This isn't to get us down, right? This is to say, wow, there is power in the small things, in me doing my duty. That means if I do just the simple things that I'm supposed to do, God is going to back me up. He's going to be there to meet me in that step of obedience, in that simple act of faith. He's going to meet me there. With power and give me what I have need of. Hallelujah. Amen. It seems silly to the natural mind sometimes. Amen. Your natural mind says, what good is it for you to get down on your knees and pray? Because you're exhausted, you're tired, your mind is going a million miles an hour, right? You're thinking about all these things. Why even bother? Well, you know what? It's a simple act of faith. I don't know. I don't know, mind, how it's going to do any good, but I believe that it will. Amen. 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 And in simplicity, I'm going to do what I know to do. Amen. And God's going to back you up, brother, sister. Amen. Amen. The problem is it is so simple that we look at right over it. Just like Nahum did in the Bible, right? You remember that story. Amen. He had leprosy. He goes to the man of God, or he sends a servant, I believe it was, to the man of God. Anyway, the prophet of God says, go bathe in the muddy old river, right? And he says, look, don't we have, a lot nicer rivers where I come from. This muddy old river, why? He was insulted, right? And his servant said, look, if he asked you to do some great thing, if he asked you to go to the top of Kilimanjaro and get the rarest flower that was in the world and get it, you would do everything in your power to do it, wouldn't you? right? Some great thing in our minds, some mighty thing to somehow earn that blessing from God. But instead, what God says is, I want simple obedience. I want a simple step of faith. It's right within your grasp. It's within your reach. It's common everyday faith. Just like in Egypt, when they had to put the blood on the door, they didn't have to go find some rare weed. They just used hyssop, a common weed. Something easily within their grasp, but they still had to do it in simple obedience. And Nahum had to humble himself to the place where he said, okay, just if I just do this simple thing, right, I'm going to do it. And we know what happened. He took the act of faith. God backed it up. Amen? When Jesus was at the grave of Lazarus, he asked Mary and Martha, roll the stone. Right? And we know, yeah, I mean, Jesus was a man. I'm sure he was stronger than them. But Brother Branham said that they had to do something. Amen. He wanted them to just participate in this. You roll the stone away. Right? You do a part. Now, rolling the stone away was not going to raise him. But it was an act of obedience that was part of the process. It was their role to play. Amen? And they did it in simple obedience. And Jesus went on to heal Lazarus. Is that right? Just simple obedience, brother, sister. It didn't make sense either, right? They even said, Lord, by now, you know, he stinks. He smells. Just obey. Just do what you know to do. Simple act of faith. When Noah did his part to build the ark, then God did his part. Right? But Noah had to do his part first. Is that right? Let's read this. This is out of a court trial. Brother Bram says, 5 years, 20 years, 50 years, the ark is completed. Speaking about Noah, of course. He says, Noah was setting the door. And here comes Mr. Scoffer, Mr. Unbeliever, Mr. Skeptic, Mr. Impatient. Right? Remember, he has this court trial going on, and he has all these witnesses against God's word. Mr. Impatient says, well, now where is that rain? God said it was going to rain. He didn't say when. He said it was going to rain. He didn't say when. He just said, it's going to rain. Get an ark. You'll be safe in it. It's going to rain. He didn't say when it was going to rain. He said, it's going to rain, and I built the ark. So Noah. So Noah knows his place. He knows his part. I don't have to figure out all the other parts, is what he's saying. I don't know. He just told me to do this. I did that. That's my job. So many times, brother, sister, we want to figure it all out. We're three steps ahead of the process, and we're missing the step that we're supposed to take right in front of us. He said it's going to rain, and he said it's going to rain, and I built the ark. 105, he says, well, it looks to me like if you built the ark and you've done your part, God will do his part. Amen. He will, but he didn't say when he would do it. He just said he's going to do it. It's going to rain. So you see, again, just doing our part. Let God take care of his part. Amen. We do our part. Amen? So the Bible says that faith without works is dead. We read that there in James. There's no life in it unless faith moves from that dimension into this dimension. Right? That's living faith. You see, because that's what works is, right? When your faith actually moves out and becomes action, it moves into this dimension. Some action behind it. So let's read this from Glorify Jesus. He says, they had no altar calls. That first originated in the Methodists, around the early Methodist church, is coming to an altar. He says, and it's a good thing. We should never let it go. So those are against altar calls. It said it was a Methodist tradition. It was a Methodist tradition, but he said we should never let it go. So we'll keep it. Amen? He says, keep it up. We'll keep it up. I think it's a good thing. Come out there, pour your heart out before God. That's the way to do it. But really, it isn't what saves you. You could stay there at their altar and pray all night and cry and walk up and down the altar, and you could do every penance you could. You could sell everything you got and give to the poor. You could go on a fast for 40 days and get so wore out from fasting till you just couldn't walk, and it never do you any good. Until first, you accept. That's it. It's your part. So God did his part. Now you do your part. Just a simple thing of believing it. And when you believe it, that settles it forever. So when we're talking about acts of faith here, we're not talking about what, you know, the human mind would think that great works, right? Though we might do great works, but he just talked about fasting and all these things till you couldn't walk. Never do you any good until you do your part. Overlooking the simple, looking at what we have decided is a great thing. Amen? Jesus is the high priest of our profession, our confession of faith. Is that right? We have to say amen. We have to agree with the word. We have to accept it. That's our part. To say amen. To believe it. To take a hold of it. To confess it. Jesus is the high priest of our confession. If your words, brother, sister, your words can create a reality. Yes. If they're carrying God's words, they create a reality in your life. You speak God's words. Amen? That's how creation started, was with God's word. Hallelujah. So our actions, which speaking is, that's an action. Our actions set in motion things in heavenly places. Amen? They set in motion things in heavenly places that will then affect things that are happening here. There's like this boomerang effect. You speak it out here, it moves into the heavenlies, and then the heavenly power moves on your behalf and affects things here. Amen? Amen. Let's read a couple more quotes. Okay, we're almost done here. 64, the unveiling of God. He says this. He says, there are several sitting here, a number, that was with us the other day when he came in a whirlwind. Told us the day before, Brother Banks and them, he said, take up this rock, throw it up in the air. Now this just happened. My directions are off. That way, right? That way. Yeah, okay. Over yonder, over the hills. He said, take up this rock, throw it up in the air, and say, thus saith the Lord. And you will see it right away. And I picked up the rock up on top of the mountain and threw it up in the air. And in the course of coming down, it started a whirlwind. See, the suction of it. I've thrown lots of rocks in the air, and that never happened to me. Amen? Anybody else? Nobody else has thrown rocks in the air? Yeah? Listen to what he says. He says, you have to do something to cause something to follow it. Do you think God could have made a whirlwind, could have done all of those things without Brother Branham throwing a rock in the air? But you see, he was showing a principle. Take a rock, throw it in the air, say, thus saith the Lord. He had something, he gave his representative on earth something to do in the physical realm. Very simple act of faith. He didn't even it didn't have to be gold. Right? It didn't have to be a diamond. He didn't have to go mine a special rock out of the ground. He didn't even specify what kind of rock. He just said, pick up a rock. Throw it in the air. He didn't say how high. Right? This is like something that we would do every day. Simple act of faith. And the result of that, when it finished, was the great earthquake in Alaska. What if he had said, throw a rock? What is that going to do? And didn't do it. Because that's just too simple. You see how a simple act of faith began to be amplified and multiplied because it was an obedience to God's word. That was what God wanted him to do. That was his total part in it. As God's prophet on earth, just throw a rock in the air, say, thus saith the Lord, I'll take care of the rest, is what God said. Right? Your part is do that, and I'll do the rest. Amen? Amen. I hope you're seeing the concept here. Amen? Simple act of obedience. God will do the rest. If you do what he tells you, he'll take care of the rest. He says, I picked up the rock on the mountain, I threw it up in the air, and of course, coming down, it started a whirlwind. See the suction of it. You have to do something to cause something to follow it. Jesus took a piece of bread and broke it, and then multiplied it from that piece of bread. He took water, poured it into a pitcher, right? We know that he made water from wine. Elijah took salt, put it in a cruse, cut down a stick, throwed it on the water. All of these things, brother, sister, have in and of themselves are just simple everyday acts. Little motions that we might have done 100 times. But we don't overlook those simple things when it's according to God's word. He says he cut down a stick and throwed it on the water. Right? And if I remember right, that was to float the axe head, I believe it was, right? He says it's something to symbolize. Picking up this rock and throwing it in the air and coming down started the whirlwind. Now that rock didn't start a whirlwind. It was the obedience to God's word. God said, this is going to happen. That started the whirlwind. His act of faith. Amen. Oh, what a powerful key that we have here tonight. Amen. Choosing of a bride, he says, where you have to do something to symbolize it. Like a man put a salt in a cruse and throwed it in the water and said, thus saith the Lord, let there be sweet water. And another one, Jesus picked up water, poured it into a jug and made wine out of it. You have to have something to symbolize. And that's what that was. That went up in the air and come down. It started that little whirlwind. Within 24 hours, it had shook that mountain till it cut a ridge around it. Power was unleashed because of an act of faith. Amen? Brother, sister, the Bible is full of examples of this. When the children of Israel were fighting a battle, Moses held up his hands. He held his hands in the air. I'm doing that right now. We've done it many times. But that was changing the battle. Why? Because God said, just hold your hands in the air, Moses. Wait, so hold on. We're going to fight this battle. And the way that we're going to win it is you want me to hold my hands in the air. Yep. Think you can do that? Yeah, I can do that. And he did it. But you know what? He got tired of doing it. His arms grew tired. My arms were kind of getting tired too. And he had some friends. He had some good brothers. Amen? That were willing to pray for him and help him. They held his arms up. And as long as he was in obedience, Israel was winning the battle. Amen. Think about that. They had power to overcome their enemies just because of simple obedience. In an act of faith that seemingly really had no relationship to it at all. But yet, he was obedient. Amen. And well, I mean, many times we've talked about Joshua. I think when maybe it was Brother Eli, Brother Doug was talking about Joshua, right? And how are you going to make those walls come down? We're going to march around them and play a trumpet, and right? Something that just seemed to the mind just silly, simple, idiotic. You look like a fool. But yet there's power in that obedience. Amen? Hallelujah. He mentions things like Elisha throwing salt in the pot or throwing the stick on the water. I mean, there's just miraculous after miraculous after miraculous in the Bible based on simple acts of faith. Amen? Peter. Lord, bid me come. Come on, Peter. Step. Act of faith. Amen? Miraculous act coming out of the heavenly dimension into this dimension. That is the power of the children of God tonight. Your faith can grab a hold of the Word of God and move it into this dimension. Amen? Jesus demonstrated this over and over and over as God in flesh. He mentions it several different things, right? Where he pours the water out for the wine. He breaks the bread. Things that were simple acts of faith. Bring me what you have. And he breaks it and multiplies it. Amen? I think Brother Doug mentioned it the other night where he, the blind man, and he spits in the mud and he makes a mud symbolizing. How is mud made with spit going to heal somebody's eye? Right? But it was an act, a simple act of faith that he believed God's word. And he was redeeming the earth. And he was going to change that man's flesh. Amen? He stands up in the boat when the storm is about to kill them and sink them. And he doesn't preach a sermon. He just speaks, peace, be still. Man, if you were sitting next to him and he just said, yeah, I'll just give me a second, I'll speak to the storm. You're going to do what? Peace, be still. That stopped it? That stopped the whole thing? That changed the weather pattern for that entire region. A man saying, peace, be still. What about a man standing upon a mountain saying, the rain's going to stop, the sun's going to come out. A storm over the entire Rocky Mountain region, been predicted for days, affecting many states in the region. One man stands upon a mountain. Amen. Inspired, spoken to by God, says, just speak a few words. You know, you don't have to do something. Just speak. If you think about the power of the spoken word, the thing that is so amazing to me about it is, I mean, I'm sure there are situations, right? There are people that can't speak, and maybe there are people that have problems with their lungs or whatever. But those of us that are healthy, speaking is one of the easiest things. It's within our grasp. Amen? Some of us do it too much. We can't stop. And many times, all God says, just speak. You have the ability to do it. Right? It's not something hard. You know the words. Say it with me. It's nothing like that, right? It's just speak. Easy. All Brother Branham had to do was speak to the storm. And it changed the weather pattern for the entire western part of the United States. Small acts of faith that have big results. Why do we anoint people with oil? You think that oil is somehow has some healing properties? Right? I don't even know where this oil comes from. It smells nice. It's an act of faith. It's a simple act of obedience. The Bible says, you anoint them with oil, lay hands on the sick, anoint them with oil, and I'll heal them. So if your faith is in that, we do that, and we expect healing. Right? Not because that oil is going to heal you, but because it's a simple act of faith. Amen. Amen. What about prayer cloths? Amen. I mean, the prayer cloths, I mean, who knows what they were made of? I mean, some of them were made of pillows. Some of them were made of ribbons. I don't know, bed sheets or all kinds of sheets, right? All kinds of material and different things. And it came down to the person's faith. Obedience. Acting. Brother Branham said about the prayer cloths, he said, it's a contact of faith. What is a contact of faith? It's faith moving out of the unseen dimension into a simple act. Taking a prayer cloth and attaching it to someone's pillow. Right? Many times Brother Brown would say, yeah, just you're praying for your husband or a loved one, just put this under their pillow. Or just hook it to his shirt or something like that. Right? Well, it's not that there's some magical property in the prayer cloth. It's the act of faith. Amen? There's an action that comes from faith, an act of obedience. It's like the prophet saying, go bathe in the river. Just do this and watch what happens. Amen? Simple act of faith. Even laying on of hands. It's a simple act of faith. Some people, you know, we talk about, well, you know, we just need the spoken word, or, you know, laying on of hands is for the Jews. Well, whatever. Whatever your faith is in, amen? A simple act of faith, laying on of hands. Brother Branham said many times in his meeting when he would speak to people that needed healing, that were cripples, they were in wheelchairs or they were in crutches, like the one he was talking about earlier, he would say, stand up. Take a step, right? Or hand me that crutch. Amen? Something simple, an act of faith. And once they stepped out on that act of faith, then they would see all of heaven move. Speak the word. Amen? So what's our part to do tonight? Believe. Say amen. Do what we know to do. Do the simple things that we know to do. Stay with it. Amen. And not think, well, it must be something big, something. Do the little things first. Do those things that you know to do. Be faithful to it. And appreciate the power that's in doing those simple things. Let me leave you with a quote. Let's stand tonight. I'll leave you with this quote, calling Jesus on the scene. He says, I'm almost like Zacchaeus. These things are always too short for me. I want to speak to you just a few moments now before we pray for the sick. Thanking you for your fine cooperation and believing in the Spirit last night while we were speaking, trusting it'll be a great outpouring of His blessings. He says, always remember what we're here for. It's to try to increase your faith in His presence, that you might receive that which you ask for. Then, by faith, you believe. Now remember, every redemptive blessing has already been purchased. The price is paid. There's only one way that you'll ever be able to receive it, is to believe it and accept it. He's the high priest of our confession. The Hebrew letter says, He's the high priest of our profession to profess. And confess is the same thing, of course. So He's the high priest of our confession. Therefore, He cannot do anything for us until we first confess that He has done it. Amen. Don't overlook the simplicity of that, brother, sister, tonight. And then when we confess it, then He is the high priest, a mediator, to go to work on that and make it right. So we pray, trusting in God tonight, in His kindness and mercy, that He will give to us His abundance of grace tonight. And remember, you must Accept it. You mean, do I have to fast? Do I have to accept it?
Amen.
Confess it.
Amen.
And then he goes to work on that.
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to just be here tonight, Lord, to hear your word, Father, and Lord, just have fellowship around your word, to just learn of you, Lord, and draw closer to you, Father. And I pray that your word would just sink down in the hearts of your children tonight. Father, I pray that each one would take it to heart, Lord. Lord, that they would walk out of these doors tonight, Lord, not just having heard a sermon or a chopped up message, Lord, but that they would be doers of the word, Father. Lord, that each one would not overlook, Lord, the simple things that you've given them to do in their lives. Maybe it's just to be a mother, or to be a wife or a husband, to be a provider, to be a brother or a sister, Lord, to pray for those around them, to pray for the church, to pray for the ministry, to pray for a loved one, to pray for the sick, whatever it might be. Lord, I pray, Lord, that they wouldn't let the devil talk them out of doing those simple but powerful things in their lives. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us a part to play, Lord. And Lord, thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, that we know that if we just do the simple little things, Lord, that you've called us to do, that you will always do your part. You always back up your word. That you're faithful, Lord, and true. We thank you for that tonight, Lord. We honor you and worship you, Lord, for your faithfulness. And part of honoring that faithfulness, Lord, is doing our part, Lord, knowing that you'll be right there. And we thank you for that tonight, Lord. We again, Lord, we want to pray for our pastor tonight, Lord, that you just touch his body and heal him. Lord, that he can come back Sunday morning, Father, preach your word Friday night, Lord, and minister to us, Lord, in the Bible study. And Lord, that you would bless our sister Baker as well, heal her body, Father. Many, that all those that are sick that couldn't be with us tonight, Lord, I pray, Lord, that in simplicity they would receive their healing tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. We just commit our hearts and our lives to you once again, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All things.